Welcome back. Guys, it's going to be a bit of a shorter show this week, but we did get a couple of emails in, so I figured we'd wrap up the show by reading some of these. So let's go to the first one. This is from Mom, and it's kind of long, so bear with me. So she says, "In regards to the experience at your office building, I agree with you, Kyle. I think that given the communicated security directive with your building, and the fact that this guy was not carrying anything, or looking like he was in need of assistance, you behaved in the appropriate manner, and therefore his comment, manners, was completely uncalled for. Should you have called him out for it? No. He's not worth the trouble. Who knows what was going on with him that possessed him to feel your behavior was in any way inappropriate? And my guess is by you not reacting to his comment, he was probably even more offended, looking for some reason to proclaim his self-appointed and inflated sense of superiority." Wow. How exhausted he must be at the end of the day. Smiley face. Just my two cents worth. I like your tax/contribution idea as well. I was completely lost on the super nerdy science versus segment, but I give it to you all for the very intelligent discussion. Especially the part about particles having pain.
yeah.
And then she says, "Congratulations to Steven for winning the haiku contest. Love, Mom." So, right. I just want to say, the guy who passively aggressively said manners behind me in the hallway, my mom says, "You're an idiot."
I think also, if you happen to see him in the building again, you should say that to his face.
Yeah, I'm gonna print out this email and just leave it on the outside of the door. I'll just remove all the names.
He'll know it was him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll put, like, a big title at the top of the page, like, in, like, big bold-faced font, like, size, like, 40-point font that just says, "Regarding manners." Like, RE: manners.
You should just call the guy manners, because it's so close to man, and it's like...
Well, have you ever heard somebody called Deuter?
Yeah. Yeah,
so it'd be sort of like that.
Yeah. Hey, manners. What's up, manners?
Josh, you were going to say something?
Oh, in the email, she mentioned something about tax stuff, and I just don't remember what we were talking about.
Oh, we were talking about how sometimes as couples with our significant other, we will have arguments just to argue. And my idea was that corporations and individuals wouldn't be able to contribute campaign or political donations more than a certain amount that they were taxed.
Right.
Okay.
So did you and Lauren ever talk about your great idea?
No. She never replied to my email and I forgot about it, so... Maybe I'll bring that up the next time I talk to her, because I literally haven't thought about this in 2 weeks. So, okay. Well, thanks, Mom, for writing in, and for siding with me. Not that I thought you would side against me. okay. So our second email is from Steven. Oh, and this is another long one, so give me a second to prepare my mind for reading this much text. okay, so he says, "Hey guys, the sequel to Hatchet was called The River.
Yes.
I read it in..." Yeah. "I read it in grade school to write a paper on how sequels change from their beginnings. It was actually about the kid from Hatchet going back into the wilderness with a writer who wants to write about the kid, who was now older, and how he survived. Somehow, though, the writer ends up sick and unconscious, so the kid has to take him down a river on a makeshift raft in order to get back to civilization. It's not terrible, but it's nothing really to call a literary achievement.
Oh, I like that idea.
It sounds to me like someone needs to be investigating this kid and why all these really horrible things happen whenever he goes out into the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the first book, you know, this is why they don't allow passengers on airplanes to bring hatchets anymore.
Yeah.
this is obviously a pre-9/11 novel, so.
Right.
I wonder if a kid reading it today would be like, holy crap, how the hell did he have a hatchet on that plane? okay.
When we were talking about that last time, it reminded me of in some Wired magazine a while back, they have this most dangerous object in the office segment. Where they usually describe some object that really doesn't have a place in the office, but you could potentially see it happening. And there's like a multi-tool kind of thing. You know, it's got like pliers and knives and
like,
screwdrivers on
like
it.
Like a Leatherman?
Yeah, like a Leatherman. And there's a version that has like a tiny little hatchet on it. And they basically said, it's basically, you know, totally useless, but you could have a hatchet on you at all times if you needed to. So, it looked pretty small. Funny, too.
Okay, so that was the first part of his email. Thank you for clarifying the plot points of the river. I think maybe I had it a little bit wrong when I said that he... Well, I mean, he still wanted to go back and prove that he could do it again. I just didn't realize there was another person there, so...
Oh, I thought Steven was saying, like, his version of it. That's really what was in the book?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, wait, that sounds great.
Wait, did you think that he made that up?
Yeah.
wait, which part of what I read made you think that?
He said he wrote a report on it, but then I thought maybe he... I don't know. I was confused. I get it now.
Okay. Yeah.
I see the light.
Steven wrote a report on it, but he didn't actually write the book.
All right.
okay, so the next part of this email, as far as Mel thinking I was Jewish, it actually started with Christmas shopping with Zach. He called her and mentioned that we were at the mall doing our Christmas shopping and that I was looking for a chain for my Star of David pendant. Which I do, in fact, have, and still need the chain. He then told Mel that I was Jewish. I think it was over a year later that I told her I wasn't. I love shellfish and regularly eat cheeseburgers, which are not kosher. Because it is the meat and the milk of the same animal on the same plate. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did. I didn't think of that.
I would eat a penguin. But only to gain its power and make sure there is one less penguin in the world. I was just going to say, I didn't realize there was a law in Jewish law against eating two things from the same, two different parts of the same animal on the same plate. So you could eat, you could eat like a hamburger and then maybe eat the cheese later if it's on a different plate.
Yeah. But you can't eat like eggs and chicken. Actually, is it just that you can't eat two different kinds of food from the same animal, or is it you can't even mix animals?
Well, his email just says the meat and milk of the same animal, right. So now I'm not even certain if it's, you know, like, I don't know, maybe if you had, like a hamburger and, like, some barbacoa or something.
I think it's the two different product groups. Like, this is the meat of the animal, this is the egg of the animal, or this is, like,
right. The
milk of the animal.
I mean, they can't even be prepared in the same place at the same time, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's just dairy and like meat.
Right. So like if you went to a restaurant and you wanted a kosher meal and they would serve you like not the two things that you can't have together. If they still make those things together in the same place, it's not kosher.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or they prepare them or whatever.
So obviously you guys aren't Jewish, but do you know the reason for this?
I don't know.
I think a lot of the original kosher laws had to do with like health concerns.
Like sanitation or whatever.
Yeah, like a lot of the unclean animals were ones that like if you didn't cook them well enough, like pork, you could get trichinosis.
Right. Yeah, yeah, so I get that. I guess maybe you could have the same problem with like milk and meat or something. If you're cooking those together or something, you might cook one to like perfect preparation temperature or something, but the other one might be undercooked or something.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of would be like that it would just be weird to like cook with milk that's sort of like the product of like an animal mother, and then maybe the meat that you're eating it with is like the mother. or like maybe it would be like her offspring or something like that. So I don't know. That doesn't sound like a reason to me.
does this mean that when Dad always made us drink milk with our meal, if we'd been Jewish, he wouldn't have done that?
I think you could. No, you could still do that. You wouldn't be able to like. You would have to have. Well, actually, I don't know now.
We'd have a pre-meal milk drinking time. Or maybe post-meal.
Yeah. I used to sit at the table so long that my milk would get warm, and then it's so gross. But I sometimes could convince Dad to let me pour some of the milk into my bowl of ice cream. Because he wouldn't let me have dessert until I finished my meal. So I had to finish my milk first, but I could like, that was like a loophole that sometimes worked.
Sure.
this sounds a lot like the way, you know, kosher things work sometimes. Like, well, what's the loophole for that?
I want to talk about one other thing he said, and that is that he would eat a penguin, but only to gain its power. I'm curious what power you guys think a penguin might have.
They're really fast swimmers.
They are really fast swimmers.
Yeah, so maybe like an animal that looks and acts really slow on land, but is pretty quick and agile and graceful underwater.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Steven also wants to be able to slide around on his belly.
Oh yeah, maybe. They do that a lot
too. Maybe to lay eggs.
Or to protect, as a male penguin, I think the emperor penguins are the ones that have to like hold. They hold the egg against their bodies like all winter.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. While the mother penguin goes off and like eats food.
Eats. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe he just wants the power of being nurturing.
Or withstanding extreme cold.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first two parts of this email.
Okay.
There's more. He says, I would love to come on sometime, but probably not until the semester is over. Right now I'm buried in essays, which is far different from how I wish to be buried. In an unmarked grave with my enemies and hockey cards.
With his enemies?
Yeah.
And I think he's talking about the penguins again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have an open invitation if you ever want to join, Stephen. We'd like to have you on. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Part four. Or do you have something else to say, Josh?
Well, I was just going to say that he should also realize that if if that's the same day that Philip Seymour Hoffman's going to come, I'm going to probably get bumped.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you can... I mean, maybe you're the reason that Philip Seymour Hoffman is joining.
Yeah, that's right. True. In which case, I would get bumped.
Yeah. Or I guess in that case, I mean, Stephen, you have your own podcast. You'd probably invite him on there instead of inviting him to our podcast.
Don't steal him!
Yeah, PSH is ours.
You get a different guy.
Yeah. You can have... crap. The guy from... No Country for Old Men.
Which one?
Tommy Lee Jones?
No, the killer guy.
Oh. Yeah, I can't remember his name. He could have Paul Giamatti.
No, I want him too. okay. Yeah, as I mentioned, you still have an open invitation. And if it happens to correspond with Philip Seymour Hoffman being on the show, we'll bump Josh. So, part five. when you guys go to church, do they have signs that say, no food or drink allowed in sanctuary? The church my mom goes to doesn't, so I used to bring donuts and sodas into the service. But the church we've been going to had those signs, and it gets me all confused when they do communion. I just wanted to share this with you guys for no useful purpose. No, there was never a sign that said no food or drink. But there was sort of an implicit rule that in Catholicism, you're not allowed to eat within an hour of taking communion.
Right.
Eat or drink anything other than water. So that's something that at least was taught to us at a fairly young age, I guess, probably around the time that we had First Communion.
Yeah.
But then also at one of the churches that we went to, I distinctly remember the church, the father being really angry about some kids chewing gum and then throwing their gum onto the floor and about how expensive it was to get out of the carpet.
See, I don't remember that, but I remember that we weren't even allowed to chew gum before. So maybe that's where I got that from.
Yeah. We were pretty good Catholic children, so we didn't have any of these gum chewing problems that all of the other hooligans had.
All these heretics.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But no, I don't think there was ever any explicit sign that said that you weren't allowed to. It was just sort of one of those unspoken rules, I guess.
But as for the suggestion that it would be then a contradiction to serve communion, also in the Catholic Church, they don't consider that food either. So, because of transubstantiation.
Right, yeah. They consider that to be flesh and blood.
Right.
Which is not the same as donuts.
Yeah, donuts and sodas.
So yeah, this is actually the main difference between Protestants and Catholics, I believe.
the lax food rules.
Yeah. And then you take it a step further, and then you're at Judaism. That's what...
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible that says that you can't bring donuts into church.
That's oral tradition, I think.
Yeah, so if you interpret the Bible literally, then, I mean, if it doesn't explicitly say it, then I'm assuming that you can do whatever. Okay.
That's why we have so many problems with downloading stuff from the internet. Right?
I remember being at another mass where, this was in College Station, where at St. Mary's, the father told everyone there, and it's like 90% college students who go to that church. And we had a sermon about how wrong it was to steal. And then he talked about Napster for like 30 minutes.
They only had three main homilies there. One was about internet piracy. One was about, abstinence/abortion. And then the third one, I don't remember what it was, but I remember every time I went to church there, it was one of the three main things that they, like, talked about.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, like, it was a big, like, social thing for a lot of college students to go to that church, so I preferred St. Thomas Aquinas because of that.
Yeah, same here.
The the locals' church.
Right.
Townies.
That's... Yeah, that's yeah. Townie church.
Okay, so part six. We're almost done, I think. He says, oh, and Peter Tork went on to become a professor of philosophy. Were we talking about Peter Tork? Was he in the Monkees?
Oh, probably.
That's probably right.
I could go back and compare with the last email that we got from him, but I'm too lazy to do that. He goes on to say, and the Death Clock song you were talking about is called Hatred Copter, and is on their first album, The Death Album. I believe I called it Death Copter, and it's actually Hatred Copter. I actually, after the show last week, I went and looked up that video on YouTube. So I was about to do a Kyle Apologizes segment for getting that wrong, but fortunately you called me out, so. he says there are two Guitar Hero games with Death Clock songs. Guitar Hero 2 had Thunder Horse, and Guitar Hero... some acronym that I'm not certain what it means, had Bloodlines. Huh. And then he says, keep up the great work. You guys really make Becca and me laugh. And then he says, P.S., how does your computer read?
It does pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not perfect. It says robot in a really cool way, so that's cool. I have a program called Notepad++. It's basically an open source replacement for the Notepad that comes with Windows. And you can have plugins installed on it, and one of the plugins is a text-to-speech. So basically I just copy the text into that program and then run the plugin on it. So
that's good to know.
Yeah. There's your...
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I think Microsoft also has a built-in thing. As Melanie and I discovered in, like, episode 2 or 3, yeah. When I tried to get it to read one of our first emails. And it ended up reading all of the tabs and all of the menu information instead of the actual text.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more for people with vision impairment, right? So they... Although that still wouldn't be very useful for them to
yeah, it's a usability thing, and as yeah. It's reading like each tab or each menu item, it like highlights it on the UI so that if you hit spacebar, it'll sort of like open up that item or whatever. So,
right.
So yeah, it's mostly for like you said, the vision impaired, but it also does do the text to speech thing. So.
So you're saying it's not designed for cool computer voice?
Not as far as I know. There might be a way to just get it to read text without doing all that other stuff, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. So, okay, well that's all of the email stuff that we got. I don't think we got any voicemails. I haven't checked, but normally it sends me an email if we get one. So. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to mention before we shut this thing down?
I was going to say, yeah. I think once this podcast really takes off, that Stephen will be a great fact checker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Determining what we got wrong and what we got right.
Yeah, I agree.
One day, if any of us becomes famous, he'll be like, he'll have all these facts about us. And maybe run a trivia show or something.
Yeah, like a pop-up video. Like he's going to have his own, like, his own like commentary track that runs alongside all of our episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, Stephen, well, Stephen has his own podcast with somebody. Sorry, I don't remember your friend's name.
Laura.
I remember her... nickname, which is Riboflavin. So if you guys haven't checked out the podcast, go listen to it. It's called the R&R Podcast with Ryan and Riboflavin, which are neither of the two people's names. but yeah, it's pretty funny. You guys should listen to it. And Steven, you should really, I don't know what it would take to get that onto iTunes, but you should get it onto iTunes because it's, I can't listen to it on my phone. So, so there's that. okay. Well, do you guys have anything else?
No.
No.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Philip Seymour Hoffman, as always, Steven, as always, maybe I'll just start combining them into, Philip Steven Hoffman. okay. Well, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Oh, Roy just farted. She's been farting a lot lately. I think we need to change her food. So bad.
I clicked record just in time to capture all of that.